PFT Media.
A bunch of conservatives spurred on by the leader of a country to storm the Capitol in order to get rid of liberal foreign interests. Oh no, it's not what you think it is. We're in 1899 in Qing China. It's Half Two History. And welcome to Half True History, where we take the legends of yesterday, merge them with the facts of today, and come up with a pretty good story that you might enjoy. I am your professor for the night, Dan P. And then controlling the airways for us is, of course, super producer Chris Crespo.
Hey, happy new year, belatedly, guys.
And, of course, captaining this with me is the Lord Aramato, to my Field Marshal Falkenhayn, it's Pedro Lima.
I heard a lot of syllables.
Yeah.
But I feel so much lighter today.
It is a wonderful.
Look at this. Day. Look at this nimbleness.
He's going.
Yo, happy new year. Happy new year, dude. Can you feel the COVID just leaving the atmosphere?
I breathed a little bit easier today. I did.
Let me not get too crazy. It's still out there.
Yeah, exactly.
Where I got the mask. But doesn't it feel so much better?
It feels better because now I know everybody in a federal building will be wearing a mask as mandated by executive order.
I'm enjoying these past few weeks. Mm-hmm. I don't know why.
Well, how can you not? We have seen probably one of the craziest Civil War reenactments we were ever going to see.
Knock on wood.
Well, nobody showed up to any capitals today, Chris. So I'm pretty sure they'll go back into their Dollar Tree cubbyholes.
The FBI was on them this time, so they're laying low for the next.
Oh my God! Those videos of them being so brave, mm-hmm. and then getting arrested, and then pleading for mercy. I can.
I feel a really nice back the blue feeling right now. Like, I'm really for.
That's federation. You know what? One of the things that I really found hysterical on January the 6th, which it sucks because they stepped on Three Kings Day.
Yeah, they did.
But seeing a cop being beaten with an American flag while a Blue Lives Matter flag was flying above him. Had to be the most hysterical thing I've seen in the past year. It was just so, another chef kiss. Mwah.
It is really bad. They are not more inclusive in their collection because they definitely could have used some LGBTQ to properly choreograph the outfits and the flags for the proper rooms.
Oh, yeah. Been great. Here's another thing. This is the only thing I miss about Trump on Twitter. I really want to see who RSVP mm-hmm. to that party that he threw. First of all, it's a shitty party. When you get an invite and it says you and a plus five. First of all, a good party mm-hmm. at max it's a plus two at max.
Yeah.
It's you and a plus one. That's it. That's an exclusive party.
It adds
a
plus exclusivity, two, yeah.
All right, we're getting kind of loose, but a plus five? Dude, I hope some of those insurgent got some of those invites and they show up with their camel flags, with their Confederate flags, with their khaki and white shirts from Target. Their tiki torches are back.
Yeah, at that point, plus five. Yeah, that's not an event. That's a family picnic. That's a company barbecue.
It's like invite anybody. I don't care. Please, just fill out the place.
Please.
Yeah. And it's a cash bar.
Yeah, it's a cash bar.
Definitely a cash bar.
Oh, absolutely, it's a cash bar. And I think actually, well, if you saw him there with what he was holding, Bernie Sanders was probably delivering the guest list for both parties at the same time.
Why do you say that?
Did you see Bernie on the go, his outfit?
No, I missed it. What he had on?
He's dressed like Kevin McAllister from Home Alone with the big puffy jacket and the mittens. And the hat.
Oh, he had mittens.
Oh, he had handmade mittens from a school teacher in Vermont.
Oh, that's dope. See? Keep it local. That
and
Bernie.
He was walking around with this manila envelope.
Did he show up with a vat of honey?
Yeah.
Did he show up with some maple syrup?
He showed up with a manila envelope that everyone was wondering what he was doing. They were wondering if he was going to stop at the post office afterwards, if he had places to go.
Another thing I've enjoyed about this whole Trump thing is everybody who was a Trump super fan has slowly just like the beach, the ocean wave rescinding back into the ocean.
I would rather have them do that than keep fighting for this lost cause.
Oh, no. I like seeing both. I like seeing them fighting, and I like seeing them just retreat and just like, oh, like nothing ever happened. It's like, we know where you stand. How many friendships did you lose due to this political thing, Dan?
You know, not too many.
Let me put it this way, because saying that it's lost is probably a little harsh. How many people did you stop talking to?
I went off of Facebook in April and haven't been back.
April?
Yeah. I was like, you know what?
So the first month of COVID did it for you?
I'm like, yeah, I was figured the quarantine. I was also going to quarantine myself with social media.
Mm.
And I feel good. I didn't have to lose anyone. I didn't have to fight with too many people.
Oh, yeah. I didn't fight with anybody, but I stopped talking to people. And if you realize, man, Pedro stopped talking to me.
Yeah.
Whatever your suspicions are.
That's probably true.
We survived it, Dan. We started this podcast almost like 4 years when this shit started.
Yeah, we were resistant. We resisted.
We're the princes of the universe. Yeah. We survived for 4 years.
Fighting for survival in the world with our darkest hour.
We had the TikTok. We had the timing. We were counting down.
Yep.
It looked dark. It looked dark for a quick second.
I really thought we were going to have to drag this out for another 4 years.
Oh, Chris is just so happy-go-lucky. Look at him. Just no worries with his beautiful Pantene hair.
As soon as I saw Arizona go, in my mind, I had the Down Goes Frazier announcer. Because I knew that was going to be it. So, what are we
talking about today, buddy? What's going on?
We're going to talk about some conservatives who stormed the Capitol because they weren't happy. So, yeah, we're going to talk about some conservatives that were egged on by one of the government leaders to storm the Capitol when they didn't like something.
Oh, so we're going to talk about Trump again?
No, we're going to go about 119 years back. Yeah, 121 years back. There we go.
Yeah. 1899?
1899. And we're going to China.
Okay. Oh, we're back in China. All right.
Last of the dynasties, the Qing dynasty.
Oh, that's not good to say.
It's very awkward to say, but it is Qing.
Okay. You say
that's
so.
Where, and this is where it comes from, actually. That's where the slang comes from, is because they came from the Qing dynasty. Yeah.
So it's not really a slur.
It's, I mean, yeah, it's a slur on the actual word. It's like a slang, I guess, a slur, maybe, or what's the word
called? It's like if I call somebody, hey, Lopez, is it a slur?
Right.
It depends on what kind of zhuzh you put on that Lopez.
Like, I guess it's like if I called you a Rican, maybe, you know? Because it's slang on the actual term, because it's called Qing Dynasty. It's from Qing China.
Okay.
Yeah, so, yeah. Context matters.
Mm-hmm. So it would be something like that. Still with a very malicious streak to it, though. And this is where we also get the look of what we see as stereotypical Chinese in the cartoons and the propagandas. The Qing Dynasty were the ones who had the long ponytails with the forehead shaved.
And a square hat.
Right, and the square hats. This is where it really comes from. Which is interesting. It's like, it's what we know of for the most stereotypical caricature of a Chinese individual. But that style was actually only introduced in the 1700s. So it was only about, China only had that style for about 200 years out of their 5,000 years.
That's it?
Yeah.
Man, we spit out styles every 5 years. What are you talking about?
So it's an interesting parallel, actually. The Chinese rebellion, known as the Boxer Rebellion, it was called. And the
Boxer?
The Boxer Rebellion. Yep.
Okay.
And that's another slang, but we'll get to that in just a bit.
That's a slang too?
Yeah, that's a slang.
I mean, too. Not a slur. It's slang, not slur.
It's slang for the actual group's name, yeah.
Okay.
Right, exactly. Yeah. It's and I had to actually write this one down because it was so Yihi Quan is the actual group's name, which is basically saying the righteous and harmonious militia.
Ooh.
But a lot of their rituals involved like light boxing and Tai Chi movements, so everyone started calling them the Boxers.
Okay.
And they believed that because they were channeling the ancients and using the proper chi to do these movements, it actually could stop bullets.
That's like, that was big at that time, like Houdini and stuff. Magicians were all about, I can stop bullets. I guess more like mentalist, like I can stop bullets with my mind.
It's kind of that same mentality if you rush a federal building and don't think someone's going to mace or fire back.
I'm Elizabeth from Nashville, Tennessee.
Who's going in the Capitol? Stealing the laptop is my favorite because literally the first thing you do when you open Google is like, here's your location.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It wants it right away. Every website you go to can have your location.
Yep.
Unbelievable.
So this is a conservative movement in the Qing Dynasty. It's a very right-wing faction that is not happy with the new policies of the Qing Dynasty.
Like what? Are they allowing in caravans of immigrants from Mongolia?
They are allowing the English and the French to trade, and they're allowing them to have embassies in Beijing.
Those lazy English?
Mm-hmm. And they don't like the fact that China has a very pro-Western stance now ever since the Opium Wars.
Well, to be fair, the West did introduce that opium to them and messed them up.
Right.
Hmm.
And so they start this movement, and one of the things is not only going back to the conservative ways of the old Chinese traditional practices of farming and agriculture and such, the way the old status was, is also they just didn't like the idea of foreigners in their country and too much foreign influence.
They don't like multiculturalism.
Now, the ironic part about that is the leaders of the Qing Dynasty are immigrants.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Where are they coming from?
See those parallels? They're very fun today. They are actually Manchurian, part of a tribe called the Manchus, who invaded the Ming Dynasty in the 1600s and took it over and became the Qing Dynasty. So this is a foreign invasion and had been.
It's a Manchurian candidate situation?
It's a Manchurian administration complaining that there are too many foreigners in this Han Chinese province.
That's crazy.
It's like I said, it's almost like some, I don't know, ancestor or descendant of a German immigrant was complaining about too many people coming from one country to another. Mm-hmm. It would be that stupid. You know, when I first did this research, I was like, yeah, this kind of sounds like it. But as I did a little bit more and more reading to refresh myself, I was like, oh no, this is exactly like what happened. With one
it's
exception.
Amazing. It's just how history repeated itself.
Repeats itself all the time. There's always going to be a group that just can't handle the change that's happening.
Yeah.
And it's always that way. So this group here, the Chinese government does not officially recognize them. Okay. But encouragement and funds and support is coming from the emperor's grandmother. She's the Empress Dowager Cixi.
So not from the emperor.
No.
Not from the emperor's mom.
Correct.
The grandmother.
Correct.
Why is that?
She is the Maggie Smith of the Qing Dynasty.
Is that in relation to Harry Potter or Downton Abbey?
Downton Abbey. She's the Dowager, and she's
the Dowager.
She's Dowager Cixi, and she is. I made a misquote there. It's not the grandmother. It's the adopted mother of the emperor.
Adopted mother.
Not even biological. Nope. Adopted mother.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's some serious stuff.
Her last two sons were emperor. And now here comes this kid who she adopts. So I mean, probably old enough to be his grandmother. The woman is at this point, she's 65 when she takes over his rule and administration, but she had always been behind the curtains and she had always been a traditionalist. She'd always been a conservative, and everyone had known that all of China's efforts to industrialize and modernize in the 1800s to try and catch up with the Western world after the embarrassing Opium War were always thwarted by her. Because she didn't like the idea of the powerful warlords giving up their land for progress.
She wanted to keep things the old-fashioned way.
Mm-hmm, because she saw the world.
So she's also like the first, she saw Mecca.
Mm-hmm.
You say Mecca?
Is it Mecca? No, MC.
Make China great again. MCAA?
MCAA? Mecca. Mecca?
My car.
Yeah.
So yeah, because you looked at the other industrial countries, and she didn't like the fact that the new powers in all these areas, the ones who actually were pulling the strings in politics, weren't these landed nobility with ancestors upon ancestors. It was now the industrialists that had taken over, and she didn't want these middle class guys riding up and taking over the government. So she has always been in the corner of any counter revolutionaries. And she is definitely going to be not directly supporting them, but in enough phrases and codes in her speeches and poems is giving them the green light and encouraging them to keep moving.
So, you know, just saying things like stand back, stand by.
Yeah. Won't condemn.
Yeah. Won't condemn. Won't condone. Won't condemn.
Don't condemn, but don't condemn. Exactly. She's doing the exact same thing.
Hmm.
Go home. I love you.
Mm-hmm.
Damn, dude. So when you're doing research on this and you're reading this, are you like going back? It's like, is this a prank? Is this?
It's not. I mean, I've seen this a couple of times before, but I'm just so surprised because this is like an Eastern lifestyle being so close to a Western lifestyle.
Almost proof that maybe it isn't just capitalism. Maybe that sort of crazy greed struggle to keep what I have at all costs is just ingrained in people for some weird reason.
Yeah, you know, this weird radical once time said that the history of all mankind was just class struggle. I don't know who it was, but apparently he says that's the real separation.
I guarantee you whoever said that died penniless.
Absolutely. All right, so here's another parallel. So I keep going through this. The rumor of them being bulletproof keeps spreading. Nobody drops it. It goes from rumor to being said over and over again enough that even government officials and people are starting to truly believe these guys are bulletproof.
But nobody's tried to shoot them.
No one's tried to shoot them. You know, it's a Ching Anon who has told them over and over again that they are bulletproof, and everyone just keeps falling for it.
Jesus.
And look, listen, what am I going to do? I'm going to waste my bullets on these guys. They're going to stop them anyway.
Exactly.
Bullets are hard to come by.
Bullets don't kill them, but it looks like a mallet does the job.
Uh-huh. So the time comes when this is about to come into effect. They march on the Capitol, this huge group. We're talking about thousands of people here. Just a sudden uprising to drive all of the foreigners out of China, occupying the capital of Beijing and causing this huge ruckus. Looting, you know, places ransacked, everything like that. They still believe that they're impervious to bullets, and apparently they've only been doing hand-to-hand combat because no one's died yet. They take over the capital. So these guys are successful. There's the difference there.
And when you say take over the capital, is there a central building housing most of the, quote, government that they can, like...
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. They just took over that building, what, held people hostage? Did they kill people?
Kind of like a martial law. So it's not like officially the rulers, but they kind of roam around and run the town at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Did they have the mayor of an old city that probably had like two rickshaws going to like a hut? And he became like the hero of that city, looking like Nosferatu, saying that, hey, we should do trial by combat. Did they have a mayor like that?
They didn't have a mayor, you know, but they definitely had people in the group that believed in combat being the ultimate way to find truth.
Okay.
Yeah. So at this point, they are roaming the countryside, attacking farms, attacking Christian missionaries. Anybody who even looks Western or has any Western stuff in their house is attacked. And they start attacking the embassies. Okay. Now the British hear about this with the telegram. Things are going a little bit faster now. And the British are busy right now. It's 1900. They're busy in Africa. They're busy in India. They're all over the place. They're messing with South America right now. So the last thing they want to do is do an about face and have to deal with this group again. Same thing with the French. So they were like, you know what? Let's talk to the powers that be to tell them to get this under control. And they send, you know, envoys and telegrams and stuff saying, listen, you need to get this under control. Our stuff is being attacked and we really, really, really want to be good neighbors and not have this come down on you. And the Empress intercepts it, and the Empress, because again, no one's really listening to the Emperor. The Empress basically ignores it and continues to encourage the mobs. Because they truly think they're bulletproof. They truly think that no harm is going to come to them. So the British and the French decide, well, I guess we got to take matters into our own hands. But they've decided they're not just going to do a classic British and French smash up like the Second Opium War. They really want to make it hit home to the Chinese that foreigners are here. And they're here to stay, and they are part of your history and lifestyle from now on, so you better get used to it. So Britain gets on the phone with their friends, and France gets on the phone with their friends, and they form the Eight Nation Alliance.
Whoa, that's a lot of nations.
Mm-hmm. So imagine here, you're these boxers, you've got the capital, You know, you're feeling good. No federal forces have tried to stop you yet. It's been about 2 years now, or it's been about a year, 1900. The British and the French haven't showed up, so they really think you've scared them off with your Tai Chi. And then all of a sudden, you just hear the blaring horn of steamships, of 1900s military battleships.
Oh, do they know that those guys are bulletproof?
I don't think they bothered
to check the locals. Somebody's about to find out a hard truth.
Leading the pack, of course, are steamships with the British and French flags. And then come all of their buddies, all of them with new top-of-the-line warships. Russia, Japan, Austria, Italy, Germany.
Oh, say no more.
There's one more. And then way in the back is a huge group of big white battleships that had just been recently commissioned by President Teddy Roosevelt.
Yeah, USA, USA. That's right.
I just like if there's any like one movie quote to summarize that feeling right there, I think it would be Ghostbusters 2, where it's like, "Oh, Johnny, did you back the wrong horse?"
Oh, Vigo. Oh, Vigo.
It's a slaughter. Yeah, they were not bulletproof.
So when they, I would have loved to found like surviving boxer and be like, we thought that it just caught me by surprise when the first bullet hit Quan.
Right. And so after that squashed, the imperial powers tell China, we need to have a meeting. We need to talk. And the Chinese ambassadors get ready. They figure they're going to be negotiating mostly with the British and the French. And they've handled them before. They understand how they work. They understand the decorum. They can probably get out of it and still keep a little bit intact. And this is what happens when you keep your head in the sand for so long that you don't understand about international affairs anymore. Because Britain and France, they don't want to be dealing with this right now. But there is a young, hungry young new kid on the block that wants to take this over. So now they're across the table with Teddy Roosevelt.
Fresh from taking over Puerto Rico.
Mm-hmm. Bully. And he sets up the open door policy in China, which will last pretty much until the communist regime takes over in 48, 49, which basically says, you're letting any country in. Any of them, all of them, you're trading with them. And if you don't, we'll come and back them up.
Ooh.
But it was no longer an exclusive deal. They had to open themselves up to Angola if they had a navy.
What was their demeanor when they were told they had to? Like, what was Grandma?
Grandma is so devastated, but she's about to die. So, you know, Grandma definitely doesn't like the situation, but she's not long for this world.
Okay, so did she move to like the Florida of China?
She, you know, they don't want to kick her out right away. They give her kind of like this house arrest type of feel. That way she can die in her home. The United States wants to be able to.
Five people invite her at a time?
Yeah, a couple people would do that. And we just help her out. Okay. But again, she's not long for the world. She dies in 1909.
Yep, that's like 8 more years.
Yeah. I mean, she's a tough old bird. Her adopted son dies as well.
The emperor.
Yeah. And so there's only one person left to become emperor. And he will be the last emperor.
Oh.
Little 2-year-old Wu Yi.
Oh, okay. That.
Yeah. The actual movie, The Last Emperor.
Oh, okay. That's Scorsese, right?
Yep.
So it's little 2-year-old Pu Yi is now the ruler of China.
And what are his politics? Where does he stand on, like, you know, imports, exports?
He doesn't really have much to say about that and won't, because he's going to get overthrown by the Democratic Party that wants China to become a republic.
Man, they overthrew a two-year-old. They overthrew a toddler.
They did, yeah. Puyi's allowed to live. He's not dead. They let him keep his toys.
That's not so bad.
Yeah, he's still got his Paw Patrol lunchbox. It's good.
All right, let me stop. I almost said a joke. Very inappropriate joke. Go ahead.
And that's the story of the Boxer Rebellion. Yet another attempt of a conservative party to overthrow what the government legally wants to do, and another disaster for them.
Eventually, for them. Our more recent one was much more sped up version.
Well, you know, we don't like to wait. We're Americans.
And no other country had to step in and be like, yo.
How humiliating would that be?
That would be bad.
I can't wait for the first meeting that Biden has with the world leaders. Like, dude, that guy was an asshole.
It's definitely got some, you got some splaining to do feel. That meeting's going to happen.
I don't think they're going to, they're like, we understand. Thank you. Thank you for, Trudeau and whoever the Mexican president is, mm-hmm. which I always think is Vicente Fox, but it's not.
It should be, though, because all I think of is Vicente Fox.
Oh, he's so good.
Yep. You know, and ironically, too, this is another country that thought a wall was going to protect from foreign invaders.
But now it's the biggest attraction they have.
Yeah.
It brings all the foreign invaders.
And it was for dragons, too, right? Because Matt Damon fought them off in that wall.
I don't know if those things are dragons, but they were monsters.
I had to see that movie in theaters because I was like, there's way too much going on for a tiny screen.
That's true. It's a Zhang Yimou movie. You got to see all Zhang Yimou movies in big screen.
Oh yeah, because it's really like you're watching a carnival act.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, it's absurd.
It's Cirque du Soleil with dragons and monsters.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing I committed to movie theaters for silliness was Man Night watching Expendables.
Yeah,
I watched all the Expendables at the movie theater.
We did.
No matter how bad it was. The first one was great.
Yeah.
And by great, I mean compared to the other three.
The third one was such whatever.
Yeah. We're going to throw everybody in there. Was Mel Gibson in that?
Yes.
Yes.
I know, Jean-Claude Van Damme was in it. He was Villain.
Yeah, Villain.
He was in the second one. First one.
Yeah, Mel Gibson was the third.
Mel Gibson's the third one. Van Damme's in the first one.
No, Van Damme was in
Van Damme's second one.
Eric Roberts is the first one.
Eric Roberts. Yeah. They classic took my action thumb. Movie star, Eric Roberts.
Eric Roberts.
They took my thumb.
I mean, I guess he was in the best of the best movies.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh my God. What a great movie. Let me tell you this. That best of the best. Hands down, dude. I could be anywhere. If that movie's on, I will finish it.
It's easy to watch. It's easy to watch because it's four training sequences. And then the final,
fighter. Sean Penn's brother is a kickboxer, son.
And he's wearing a cowboy hat, but they call him like New York or something.
Fat Penn is a kickboxer.
Yeah.
Then we got some scientist guy with a beard for some reason in there.
You're supposed to believe that James Earl Jones used to be a kickboxer.
Mm. Yo, he coached him, though.
And he's like, you can call me, I'm Coach Mancuso. You can call me Mr. Mancuso or Coach.
What a last name for a black guy. Mancuso.
That's great. Yeah, that's great. It's like,
and
it's
the
like
the blonde chick that I don't know her name, but she's been in so many 80s movies.
Is that Mary Ellen Trainer?
Could be. I don't know her name.
Probably.
He's in there. And then the Mortal Kombat guy, Liu Kang, is in there.
That's the guy who wrote everything.
Tommy.
Yeah, that guy. He, those are his, Philip Reed. Those are his movies.
I stopped. I didn't even bother with part two.
There's like four or five of them.
Yeah, nope. The first one, mwah, great. It's like Olympics, bro. They had Olympic trials to fight these Koreans. Well, I guess best of the best. Oh, what a movie.
Bring the dragon down from its final flight. Yes. We're done chasing it.
Well, I see what you did.
Yeah. So another day, another rebellion, and as always, it's fun to see it happen every single time and fail every single time. So thank you all for listening. This has been a great episode of Half True History. I love the parallels in this one, and I just want to thank, of course, Chris Crespo for rocking it out.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
And, of course, him and he's got his whole PFT media lineup still going strong.
So going strong, PFTmedia.com. Check it out, guys.
Has anybody quit during the quarantine? Have you lost any shows?
The brother.
Scotch A Good Conversation is going their own way. So they've left the network. But we have started working with, I think I mentioned this on the last one, Real Housewives of Reality.
Yes.
I thought you were going to replace it with Scott and OK Conversation.
Bourbon and a downgrade of a conversation.
Wine and elegant banter.
Bourbon and a speakeasy. Actually, bourbon and a banter. Yo!
If you Google those versions of names, you'll find shows all across the country with all variations. Sure. It's so funny. Yeah. But yeah, we're going strong. Everything's going well. So
tequila and a talking to.
There you go. That's your next show.
Yeah, I'm getting into tequila little by little.
Oh, that's usual.
I just been dry. I gotta be dry for the next 2 months.
Okay. Why is that?
I made a bet, a weight bet, against Sanchez, and whoever loses the most weight, the loser has to shave their beard.
I like when you do these weight challenges because you really get into it, and you always end up shedding a lot.
Bro, I'm cutting weight. I'm gonna cut weight like Masvidal in Abu Dhabi. I'm gonna put like the last 2 weeks. I'm going to work in a sweatsuit.
Oh, yes.
Like I told Kermit, bro, if I end up in the hospital, just fucking feed me Gatorade until the weigh-in.
That's it. Well, thank you, Pedro. As always, this has been a great show.
Thank you guys for listening. Make sure you like, subscribe, do all that fun stuff. Support our brothers at PFT.
Mm-hmm. This has been Half True History, and we'll see you on the next page.
Peace.
A PFT Media production.